Good evening and welcome to a special edition of The Big Fight. It's been a really difficult week. Those floods, of course, in Kerala, which have caused a lot of devastation. Hundreds are dead there, many still cut off, looking and waiting for relief. Our thoughts have really been with Kerala. And then, of course, a week where India lost one of her tallest sons, a statesman whom we all grew up respecting, loving, thinking a lot of. And Atal Bihari Vajpayee, who'd been ailing, of course, for a long, long period of time, finally passed away. And there was an emotional farewell that the nation bid to him. Throughout that farewell, we kept on saying this is not really the time to think too much or talk about politics or what are the lessons that we should draw. And there'll be a time for us to do that. But perhaps now is the time for us to introspect a little bit and to think at what were the lessons that Atal Bihari Vajpayee perhaps would want all of us to take from his career, from his life. Because many of us who remembered him as Prime Minister also would be somewhat nostalgic right now about the sort of time and the sort of atmospherics and atmosphere that used to prevail then. Not just in politics, where politicians could disagree bitterly with each other, but yet have cordial relations. But also across the board, social media, of course, didn't really exist, so you didn't have Twitter trolls and attacks and all the stuff that is said, fake news and circulation on WhatsApp didn't happen. Maybe the media itself was slightly different. You didn't have a situation where anybody who disagreed with somebody else would be called either an anti-national on the other side, a bhakt or a troll or whatever it is. It was a much different time at that time. And there would be many who would hope that at some point, some of the civility, some of that generosity of spirit, some of the large-heartedness comes back into our public life. And today we're going to be talking to a range of experts, many of whom knew Atal Bihari Vajpayee really well. We also have a large audience of young people here in the studio whom we can turn to. I think all of them, most of them are under 25, so most of them have never really heard Atal Bihari Vajpayee or heard him speak. But maybe they would also be interested in hearing about a slightly different time and a different culture of politics. And let's see how we can perhaps roll some of that legacy forward. So joining us here in the studio, it's great to have with us Ashok Tandon, who's media advisor to Atal Bihari Vajpayee, worked with him very closely, as in fact it's Sudhindra Kulkarni, who used to handle so many of the things that he used to do. Hindal Sen Gupta, author of The Man Who Saved India, Sardar Patel, will also be talking to us about how we can take lessons from legacy. And we're going to be joined during the course of the show by many very special guests, ranging from Jyotiraditya Sindhya to General V.P. Malik to we are now being joined by Yashwant Sinha, of course, somebody who worked very closely with Atal Bihari Vajpayee, both as finance minister and then as external affairs minister. So, Yashwant Sinha, why don't I actually start with you? Having worked very closely with him and having known Atalji so well, if there's a sort of a lesson that today we as a country should be thinking about, what would be the legacy in your view that you think Atalji would want to remember him by and the lessons that you think he would like us to imbibe?
Well, you know, I personally think that he would have liked to be remembered as he truly was, a great Democrat, a great consensus builder, a great parliamentarian, and above all, a great human being. I think that is how he would have liked to be remembered, a person who's who was a great nationalist, a great patriot, and always thought of his country in everything that he did.
Well, Mr. Yashwant Sinha, you've been a senior BJP leader for a very long time, and it's no secret that you were a great admirer of Atal Bihari Vajpayee. It's also no secret that you're not necessarily a great admirer of the present government or the present Prime Minister. So what would be your advice to the present government, and what advice do you think Atal Bihari Vajpayee would have for the present government?
My advice to the present BJP and to the present government, both, will be that they should emulate the example of Atalji. Atalji, his popularity cut across political party lines, as you are aware and as everyone is saying today. He had the knack of conveying his messages wrapped in such sweetness that nobody took it amiss. And you know, as a great Democrat, he realized that the opposition in the country was as important as the ruling party, having spent so many long years in opposition himself. And we are part of a major joint venture for the progress of this country, and therefore he treated the opposition with great respect. I remember numerous occasions where he would call the leaders of the opposition parties in parliament to discuss an issue. If the parties in opposition raised an issue through letters or on the phone, he would immediately call them for a discussion. And this is how he was able to evolve a consensus.
So trying to get the present government to derive lessons from that. Now, Prime Minister Narendra Modi couldn't have said or done more to tell the nation about that special bond he felt with Atal Bihari Vajpayee. He called him a father figure, walked for 6 kilometers yesterday, 5 or 6 kilometers yesterday, in what must have been a very tough time for security officials. So do you think he would also be introspecting, thinking of Atalji, the lessons from him, and perhaps imbibing some of those lessons in how the government is run?
Well, I hope so. I hope that the way Mr. Vajpayee ran the government and the way he dealt with the opposition, and again, I'm defining opposition as opposition within the party, within the cabinet, and outside. You know, if we follow that path, then I would dare to say that democracy will be safe in this country. It is the values of democracy and the conventions of parliament which were very dear to his heart, and he followed them meticulously, religiously, and that's how it should be in a democracy like India's.
We've heard some talk, Mr. Sinha, on whether Atal Bihari Vajpayee and that legacy now becomes a sort of a rallying point for some members of the NDA who are pushing for change or pushing for an alternative way for things to be done, a different way of dealing with the allies, and including many within the BJP who are having disagreements with the way things are going. Do you see that happening? Do you see Atal Bihari Vajpayee and the legacy of Atal Bihari Vajpayee becoming a symbol or a rallying point?
Well, if the present dispensation follows the ideals and practices of the former Prime Minister, the late Prime Minister Vajpayee ji, then obviously many things will fall in place and will start happening. But I would like to add on your show that if the present practices continue, present attitudes continue, both within the party, with the allies, and with the opposition, then things don't look too good.
So if I could just ask you to be a bit more specific, what specifically are the attitudes that you're talking about? What are the things that you would like to see change, or for that matter, in your view, Atalji would have liked to see change?
No, I'd like to see more inner party democracy within the BJP. I'd like consensus building within the party. I would like to see consensus building outside the party. How is it that it's said that the party is being run by only a couple of individuals, or nobody in the cabinet has any authority, or the allies are leaving BJP, or they are unhappy with the way we are running things. All these things can be smoothened out if only we had more consultations and we brought a democratic spirit to bear on these issues.
Right. Yashwant Sinha, thank you so much for joining us with that. So senior BJP leaders would like to see more in a party democracy, more consultation. I'm going to keep coming to many of these interviews. I said Jyotiraditya Scindia about to join us, as a General VP Malik. And also, I did speak to Nitin Gadkari yesterday, who did respond to some of what Yashwant Sinha was just saying. I'll play that for you as well. But let me just come to our panelists out here. Shekhar Gupta, of course, with us as well. Ashok Tandon, great to have you back with us. You were, of course, media advisor, to Atal Bihari Vajpayee, and guided him on many of those factors. When you're seeing, I spoke about an overall deterioration in the sort of culture that we have, and it's on from TV channels to social media to the way politicians deal with each other. But specifically, within the government itself, how inner party democracy is working and the allies are working, would you agree with what Yashwant Sinha was just saying, that Atalji did it in a slightly different manner?
Well, with due respect to my friend Yashwant Sinha, I would like to take him as well as the audience back to the era when Atalji was leader of the opposition. See, his entire political career groomed during his role as opposition leader. And when he was the opposition leader, he used to, number one, accept the people's verdict, whichever way it went. If his party lost, he respected the verdict of the people and extended full support to then ruling dispensation. And this era continued for decades, because for a couple of decades we had one party rule, and his party also never had many members. But still, he respected the verdict of the people. No, let me complete, Vikram. Now when we are talking about the kind of friction which you as well as Yashwant Sinha mentioned, unfortunately, I, with full command and respect, I want to say that the present opposition has not yet reconciled to the massive mandate which Modi has got. Since 2014, Indian opposition today has yet to reconcile that Mr. Modi has become the Prime Minister and he got a massive mandate. See, when Vajpayee, in fact, one of his points...
So you would blame the friction more on the opposition not being able to reconcile?
I'm giving a comparison. 71, Vajpayee called Indira Gandhi, what, Durga, because she was fighting for the country. And Nehru, I can give you one instance which may be a secret till today. In the very second Lok Sabha, when Atalji was a member, first time, 33-year-old member, Nehru called him up that, Atalji, today one starred question number one is on Indo-China relations. And today I am going to receive the visiting Chinese Prime Minister Chou Enlai. And if you raise that Indo-Chinese question as a first start question in Parliament, there may be a problem. And Vajpayee said, I will abstain from the House and I will not raise that question. Can you imagine this kind of a cooperation from opposition?
Well, I would hope that it would happen.
No, therefore,
I hope that it would happen
today.
But you're right, maybe,
Vikram,
it doesn't happen anymore.
Today what is happening is, because unfortunately the opposition is not reconciling to the fact that somebody like Narendra Modi got a massive mandate. And unless the opposition recognizes that and reconciles to that, there can't be a cooperation.
Okay. Surendra Kulkarni, let me just try and get whether you agree with him. Look, the fault is, he's saying that the fault is more on the opposition side, not so much on Narendra Modi's side or the BJP government side. What would you say? Why is it that there has been so much deterioration in relationships?
You know, there is a certain deterioration of relationship between the ruling party and the opposition, that is in the political space, but also a certain deterioration in the overall climate, intellectual climate, the climate of debate in the country. And that is a matter of great concern. We did not see that when Atal Bihari Vajpayee was either the opposition leader or the Prime Minister. Did we ever hear someone criticizing the ruling party or the government as anti-national? Whereas in the last 4 years, anyone who takes a slightly different view is trolled, is dubbed anti-national. Now, this is not the legacy that Atal Bihari Vajpayee is associated with. Let me give you an example, since we are talking about respect for differences and dissent, especially in the media. You know, one of your very esteemed colleagues once told me, and I can name the person, Ravish Kumar. He said that when Atalji was the Prime Minister, he had done a story which was critical of the government. And he feared that the Prime Minister would not like it. So in one of the functions when he happened to meet the Prime Minister came up to him and said, "Aapne humari khichai ki, bahut achha kiya, aise karte raho, ye aapka dharm hai." Imagine such a thing happening today.
But on the flip side of that, there were other, maybe all governments have a slightly, I'm taking what you're saying on board, but Ashok Chahi, you will recall, and I'm going to get Shekhar in on this as well, at that same time, there were other charges that were made, you know, on the attack on Outlook magazine, for example, the Tehelka happened, raids on the Raheja. So, you know, sometimes we say that things were all perfect in the past and are all bad right now. There are others who will say, well, you know, sometimes this happens all along. And you were the media advisor at that time, so you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I agree what you are saying and what Sudhindra has said, but then if we are applying that yardstick to Vajpayee's era and Narendra Modi's era, we should apply the same yardstick to other regimes as well. Can I go back to Indira Gandhi's regime? What happened to the media during Indira Gandhi's regime?
Rajiv's regime, Indian Express had 350 cases filed against it.
Yeah. So therefore, if we are comparing on these parameters, then we can't single out Narendra Modi for that and compare it with Vajpayee or perhaps Nehru era. Things were different. So I don't think such comparison will either make any difference. The fact remains, as Yashwant Sinha said, very rightly said, that Atalji was ardent supporter of parliamentary democracy. He wanted parliamentary democracy to survive in this country, and he worked hard during his parliamentary career to strengthen the convention and also the practices of parliamentary democracy. Tell me, where is the threat to parliamentary democracy today? People have elected a government, given them a mandate. We are not accepting it. How can democracy function?
Shekhar, Ashokji's point being, don't say that everything is rotten right now and everything was wonderful in the past. Just as when you keep reading, you know, of various people saying that nothing good ever happened in the country before 2014, everything good started in 2014, both views are somewhat extreme. So I was just using that media metaphor. You are aware of the fact that, yes, the media has come under sustained attack in the last 2 or 3 years, but then you could well argue it's happened in the past also. If you read Vinod, you know, what, you know, Dhetha had written about that same era when Ashokji was the media advisor.
Well, first of all, there's never been a perfect government. But even if you look at it purely in terms of freedom of the press, there has never been a government that wasn't imperfect. Every government has tried to pressure the media. Sometimes you
some worse than others, though.
Some more successfully than others.
Oh, so you mean they all tried it, some were more successful in being able to control it.
Rajiv Gandhi tried. He tried, what he tried with the Indian Express then, if he had tried at this point with anybody, 350 cases, raids, this, that, everything, right? And those days government controlled a lot of advertising. If he had tried that today, then either that place would have shut down or we'd all be up in arms. But the fact is that even when Rajiv Gandhi attacked the Express, rest of the media mostly looked away.
Okay.
Today, the good thing is that the rest of the media is rallying now.
Okay.
So I don't buy the idea that Indian democracy is now finished. It's not finished.
Hopefully Indian democracy will never finish. No. We have to keep on trying to perfect it.
But to say that Mr. Vajpayee was perfect, Mr. Vajpayee was an RSS man. He was a BJP man. He wasn't secular. But he believed in the constitution, he believed in Rajdharma, and he believed in parliamentary democracy and niceties of democracy.
Okay.
He did not necessarily agree with people that he was nice to.
Okay. I'm just going to move on to another special guest joining us, Hindal, before I come to you. Jyotiraditya Scindia, with us. Jyotiraditya Scindia, your family, of course, the relations with Atal Bihari Vajpayee go back a long way. Your father, of course, defeated him in 1984, but the relationship goes back further. All of us noticed when you went there to pay respect at his residence when Atalji was lying there and people were coming to visit, you knelt. You knelt in respect before him, and that image was widely circulated. It, in a sense, shows the sort of respect that can exist between political rivals, and that affection and that regard that can sometimes be there despite political rivalry.
Well, Vikram, first of all, as you mentioned, that this is a very personal relationship for me. As I mentioned, it's a relationship that goes back multiple generations, almost three generations between the two families. And for me, it's a very personal loss. It's a loss of not only for me, someone who hailed from Gwalior, but on a much more personal basis, someone who shared a very deep bond with my grandmother, my father, and personally with me as well. I remember when my father passed, he was one of the first few people who was here at my residence with my mother. And in my first few years as a member of parliament also, he bestowed a tremendous amount of his blessings on me and encouraged me. And there are very few leaders across the cross-party diaspora that believe taking people forward, making sure everyone's voice is heard, standing with a sense of respect to be able to hear everyone's voices. And Atalji was one of those people who I think in many ways India has lost a voice of reason.
So, Jyotirathya, if I could just ask you, you know, it's interesting to note the bonds that can and did exist despite political rivalry. You can beat somebody in politics. Madhura Sindhya, your father beat him in 1984. But that sort of an affection and that sort of a bond despite political rivalry is rare to find in today's politics. It's rare to find in other areas also, but I'll come to that. It's tough to find that in today's politics. Can we somehow find a way to bring that back? Because that would be a really memorable way to remember the legacy of Atal Bihari Vajpayee. Can we bring it back?
It's not rare to find, Vikram. I think it's probably extinct. And that's the sad part of the Indian political space today. It has become very vitriolic. It has become very personal. And not only Atalji, but many of his generation, which is why I mentioned in one of my interviews that we have lost a generation in politics in his passing. Because many of his generation, I think, believed in the sharpest attacks on their adversaries and political opponents in terms of policy making. But it was never ever, and I underline that, it was never ever personal. And to look at the depths of personal attacks that we have resorted to today in India's polity, I think is really shameful and disgraceful, because in many ways it is Parliament, it is members of Parliament that should be setting the standard for the way people in India conduct themselves. And in many ways we have lowered that standard ourselves. So yes, it is a tremendous loss, and he always also, Vikram, let me tell you, always stood up for what was correct and what was right, be it for from those within his party or from the opposition. He would call a spade a spade. He would say what is correct, and he would also say what is wrong. And we, you and I, have innumerable examples of that. But today, those values and that value system and that moral system today is gone. When he talked about politicians doing their Raj Dharma, that was a value system. When he talked about that if desh mein sampradayik sadbhav ki bhavna agar khatam ho jaye, to is desh mein kuch nahi bachega. That was a value system. When he talked about vote aayenge aur jayenge, lekin is desh ko rehna hai, is sansad ko rehna hai.
Right.
That was a value system. And Atalji stood for all of those values. And now, unfortunately, and I underline that when I say that, unfortunately, in the Indian polity today, it is a bygone era. I certainly, as a younger person, would certainly try and reignite that, reinculcate that. But today, the current government, and I don't want to get political on this conversation with you, but there is no space for discourse. There is no space for debate. There is no space for inclusion. There is only space for exclusion. And therefore, I find it very ironic that today in Atalji's passing, you are looking at a party in government that very rarely espouses the values that Atalji stood for.
Right, we were just hearing, you know, Ashok and others also saying that sometimes it's not that the opposition doesn't necessarily do things that are wrong also. But, you know, frankly, it's not just in politics. It's across the board. Look at social media or TV news studios, for example, where, as Sudhir Kulkarni was saying, if you have a contrary view, you're not just an opinion to be disagreed with. You're an enemy. You're anti-national. You should be sent to Pakistan. So, you know, that obviously needs to change in some way or the other. Jyothirasiddhi, I just wanted to ask you one question. Atalji's voice has been silent for a decade. Is it possible, in your view, that in his passing on, he somehow becomes a symbol of the need for change and therefore maybe help us in pushing forward change in politics and in other forms of public life?
Well, I don't think, not only that, Vikram, his voice may have been silent in the last 12 or 13 years, but his presence was still very much there, which is why when he became critical, I prayed for his recovery, because he may have been silent, but his presence also meant something for India. His physical presence meant something for India. And therefore, even though he did not have a voice, just his mere presence, people would allude to it. And I think the inspiration, if we actually want to follow in his footsteps and not necessarily only walk the 6 kilometer walk to his final resting place, but I think if we want to follow in his footsteps, then we must stand up for what is correct. We must stand up for values. Okay. We must be able to bridge, we build bridges across political lines.
All right. One last quick question. You know, what do you think would be the advice that Atal Bihari Vajpayee would have given or would want to give right now to Narendra Modi, or for that matter to any other leader aspiring to the seat of power in India in 2019? What word of advice?
Also to the opposition.
Yeah, I said to any leader.
Well, I think the foremost advice would be, doesn't matter if someone stoops low, you aim high. And I think that is what we must strive to be able to achieve if we really want to immortalize his memory.
All right. All right, Mr. Sindhia, thank you so much for joining us. Hindo, let me just get you in on all that we've been hearing.
Yeah, and I'm astonished to hear some of these views, because in my generation, I remember nobody giving Atal Bihari Vajpayee any space when the Pokhran test happened. I would have liked to see, and I remember being in school, leaving school at that time, being in school and then later in college and reading all those books and all these newspaper magazine articles. I wonder where this spirit of giving space to the dissenting voice, giving space and opportunity. Even today, when you read those articles, you see the kind of venom and viciousness that was poured against Atal Bihari Vajpayee when the Pokhran test happened. It's all very well today to talk about, oh, how there should be space for dissent and this, that and the other. These are all mythologies that are very polite and nice to talk about in television studios. You know, when Yashwant Sinha was talking, I remembered Atal Bihari Vajpayee's famous line, "Is chalna bhari dunya mein ek sapna hi sach hota hai." You know, these are all sapnas that are shown to us, these dreams. Where is the dissenting voice? When Pokhran happened, all the entire establishment, including all the, or most of the media at least, and including writers, you know, ganged up and essentially said this was the worst thing for India, for the worst thing ever to happen for India. Where was the space then for any debate, real debate?
There's a slight difference, of course. Criticizing the government in power or right. Questioning the government in power is one thing. For the government in power to say, we're not going to allow anybody to speak about us, that's where the crushing of dissent
happens. So no one is saying that there isn't
problem. Anyone and everyone should feel free to say, okay, the government has done something, they're going to question
of
you.
Of course, but there is no one is suggesting that the climate that we have today is ideal. Of course not. And remember, a lot of the problem emanates from social media. Twitter allows anonymity. People go and say whatever they feel like. You didn't have that opportunity then. And I'm pretty sure if you had a Twitter then, people would have said all sorts of things
actually,
at that time.
Very
too.
Interesting point. And let me actually throw that to everyone. Shekhar, starting with you and going that way. I've sometimes had it said to me by members of this government and others that, look, when you're going on saying there's a negative atmosphere and there's too much hate and there's too much vitriol and there's shouting down of voices, it's not necessarily the government doing it now anymore than the governments in the past have done it. It's happening a lot because of social media and attacks that happen there. And it's happening sometimes because of TV studios, which you can't necessarily blame the government for. I mean, I'm sure you've heard this many times yourself. How do you respond to it?
Well, social media, Twitter gives you anonymity. So I think anybody should discount anything that is said anonymously from any side. But now plenty of abuse, threats and instigation also come from non-anonymous handles. Many in the government, many ministers, many in responsible positions. Social
and,
media,
and sometimes on TV channels that people would say are closely associated with the government. Let's face it.
They may not even mean you harm. They may just be venting or they may just be irritating you. But somebody, when you're walking on a street, how do you walk? Do you carry private security guards? Somebody will pick up a stone and throw at you.
We've seen Umar Khalid, we've seen Swami Agnivesh both this week, in the last few days. Both were saying that it was because of the atmosphere that we are being attacked.
So certainly atmosphere has now worsened. India's politics is now broken. I think Mr. Vajpayee would have been deeply disappointed. And frankly, if he had had a voice, he would have spoken out. Because this is not the kind of nation or the republic that he had participated in building. He was a very tough opponent of the Congress party. Remember, Indira Gandhi put him in jail. He was among that golden generation of Indian politicians who decided to forget and forgive. Can you see this happening now?
Okay.
So today's politics is broken. I think the loss of the seniors is sort of a final because they are not being replaced by a new generation which builds the same sort of relationships. Now, if you don't agree with somebody, he's a chore, he's an anti-national, send him to Pakistan. Frankly, nobody says send him to Bangladesh when you keep promising to send 40 lakh people from Assam to Bangladesh.
I find it
so funny that even a series of daily tracking of news from Pakistan now on our website, the print, we call it Go to Pakistan, hashtag Go to Pakistan.
Okay.
And it's very funny.
Ashokji, let me get you in on this. So, in terms of the atmosphere, we've discussed the media, we've discussed the relationship between political parties, what can be done to change it. Overall atmospherics, if they are worse or more intolerant today, would you agree with that premise? Whoever's to blame, whether it's the opposition to blame, media to blame, social media to blame, or the government to blame, whoever's to blame?
I think all of us are to be blamed. The public at large is also to be blamed because who is using the social media? Everybody is using the social media. And then when we blame the government for everything. Now, if some untoward incident happened in a state, because the law and order is a state subject, therefore they will not blame the state. They will say because of it is the atmosphere. Mm. Now, who is creating that atmosphere? All of us are. So we are all accountable to that. If there is any deterioration in Indian parliamentary democracy or otherwise, as you said, the overall fabric, I think the blame lies with all of us because public can also raise the voice. So I think it has become a fashion to blame the government for everything, the ills in the society.
All of us takes us nowhere. All of us means we are passing the...
Including the media. I can give you a number of instances where media has misled the people.
So that has to be countered.
And that has led to riots.
But sir, then I will not say all of the media does it.
All of us
are not
doing
it.
That includes the government.
Sir, all of us are not doing it. Political leaders have the ability to build political mood, to set the terms of debate on all sides.
See, debates deteriorates when counter-allegation and allegation starts. I don't want to use this forum to say, when Sonia Gandhi says, addresses Narendra Modi as Maut ke Sadagar, what kind of atmosphere you want to create?
Okay.
So these things have not happened in one day, in one week, in one year. All sorts of deterioration in use of language has started from all sides, including politicians as well as the public.
Which you have to
excuse me for a minute. See, the kind of language is being used by people and on social media. I hang my head in shame. I'm living in a country where people are
actually
free to say anything they like.
Ashokji, actually allowing somebody to finish a statement on a TV news program is really unusual these days. I should have allowed him to interrupt you.
No,
in fact, I should have allowed
him.
I should have allowed
him
to shout at you.
Actually, butting
That's what I should have really done.
Butting is in
into the conversation in Delhi is what is happening from around India. We need to take into cognizance that we have always had a close network of voices. Today there are voices from across the country of 1.3 billion. And not all of them are polite voices, I agree. And of course there's a problem with politics. Who's to deny that? And okay. Of course politicians don't speak in the right language. But the close network that we operated in has been broken. There are voices from 1.3 billion people and they're ruckus voices. You know, today in Bengal, where I come from, people of my father's generation lament that Jyoti Basu's, you know, civility is no longer there. But Bengal, that Jyoti Basu's Bengal was a tiny bit of Bengal. Today, many more voices have come in and many of them are not polite voices.
So they're you're saying that as more and more, interesting point you're making. Surinder Kalin, do you agree with them that actually as more and more voices are coming out, there won't necessarily be polite voices. There'll be more raucous voices. Is that a good way? Is that a way of putting it?
Of course, you know, the new media, the social media is a great democratizer. And it has given voice to millions of people who were not earlier heard, which is to be welcomed.
So therefore, Atalji didn't have to deal with that.
Yes, but what, yes. You know, I want to come back to Atalji's politics. You know, Shekhar mentioned that politics today is broken. To some extent, it is true. And this politics needs to be healed, it needs to be reformed, and we need to bring back the civility, the democratic spirit, the large-heartedness that Atalji represented. You know, take for example, Atalji would have never either uttered himself or condoned someone from his party saying that our goal is Congress Mukt Bharat. The kind of arrogance that Congress had at its peak somehow has come into the ruling party now. This is not Atalji's party. This is not the party of L.K. Advani. On the other hand, he reached out even to his opponents. You know, there are so many inspiring examples of how Atalji befriended C.N. Annadurai, a leader of the anti-Hindi movement. He was his personal friend.
I met
George Fernandez. You know, I went to see him. Of course, he's not in good health. Imagine a fiery socialist leader who was opponent of the Jan Sangh and subsequently the BJP. He becomes a close ally of Atal Bihari Vajpayee. This is the legacy that we have to restore.
So I don't wanna, I actually want to. So yesterday when I was speaking to Nitin Gadkari, who is of course a senior leader of this government, got more portfolios than I can count. I actually began by just asking him about that for the BJP itself and for this government. That aspect of Atalji is something that may well have to be kept in mind. The fact that when the BJP goes from 2 to 282 seats, L.K. Advani Rath Yatra was important. But I asked Nitin Gadkari that was it that ability of Atal Bihari Vajpayee to get different people together and combine them in a rainbow coalition, was that crucial? This is what Nitin Gadkari said to me yesterday.
देखिए पहली बात तो ये है कि अटल बिहारी वाजपेयी जी के बारे में जब मैंने बीजेपी में प्रवेश किया था तो पहली बार मैं पुणे में राज्य कार्यकारिणी के मीटिंग के लिए गया था तो वहाँ स्टेशन के बाहर जैसे उतरा तो उस समय दीवार पर लिखा था मराठी में कि पर्याय पर्याय म्हणून ओरडतात कोण ज्यांचे लोकसभेत निवडून आले दोन यानी पर्याय पर्याय करके जो चिल्ला रहे थे उनके लोकसभा में दो लोग चुनकर आए ऐसा नारा लिखा गया था पर उस स्थिति में अटल जी ने देश का नेतृत्व किया पार्टी का नेतृत्व किया और मुझे याद है कि हमारा पहला अधिवेशन जब मुंबई में हुआ था बांद्रा रिक्लेमेशन पर तब MC छागला वहाँ आए थे और छागला जी ने अपने भाषण में कहा था कि देश के भविष्य की रूलिंग पार्टी के कार्यकर्ताओं के सामने मैं बोल रहा हूँ और मेरे साथ बैठे हुए व्यक्ति जो है ये देश का अगले प्रधानमंत्री अटल बिहारी वाजपेयी ये अगले प्रधानमंत्री होंगे लोगों ने खूब तालियां बजाई थी बाद में अटल जी का भाषण हुआ और अटल जी ने वो उस समय सूर्यास्त हो रहा था समुद्र के इसमें सूर्यास्त नीचे सूर्य जा रहा था तब अटल जी ने कहा कि इस अरबी समुद्र के सामने सूर्यास्त के लिए ये इससे मैं आपको वचन देता हूँ और विश्वास के साथ कहता हूँ अंधेरा छटेगा सूरज निकलेगा और कमल खिलेगा और अटल जी ने यह करके दिखाया आज दो से लेकर हमारी सत्ता आई दिल्ली में सरकार बनी इसका लॉयल शेयर अटल बिहारी वाजपेयी जी के नेतृत्व का है और आज भी हम लोग पूरी मेजोरिटी के साथ दिल्ली में आए ये वाजपेयी जैसे नेताओं का कर्तृत्व है जिनके परिश्रम मेहनत बलिदान के कारण त्याग के कारण आज हमको ये दिन देखने के लिए मिल रहा है हम कभी वाजपेयी जी को भूल नहीं सकते
So you actually, I don't know if all of you heard the audience clapping for the words of Atal Bihari Vajpayee, many of whom were too young to actually ever hear him speaking in real time. Now, that was Nitin Gadkari talking to me yesterday. I also asked him this question that right now, of course, the government has a complete majority and the ability to get its own way. Who knows what's going to happen in 2019? There could be an absolute majority. There may not be an absolute majority. And in that situation, will there be a requirement for consensus building and compromise to a much greater extent than is happening right now? And maybe that's a lesson which both the BJP or anybody else who's aspiring to power may have to think about.
मुझे लगता है कि अब इन सब विषयों को पॉलिटिकलाइज करके उस एंगल में नहीं देखना चाहिए. पॉलिटिक्स से ऊपर उठकर देश महत्वपूर्ण है, ये वाजपेयी जी की सोच थी. और डेमोक्रेसी, लोकतंत्र हमारा सबसे बड़ा तंत्र है और लोकतंत्र में नेशनल इंटरेस्ट के महत्वपूर्ण विषयों पर सभी पार्टियों में संवाद चाहिए, मिलकर यूनैनिमिटी चाहिए, आपस में डायलॉग चाहिए. ये बात अलग है कि राजनीतिक कन्वीनियंस के लिए कोई साथ में आएगा कोई नहीं आएगा, पर आपस की रिलेशनशिप अच्छी होनी चाहिए और सबने मिलकर देश के प्रमुख मुद्दों पर अगर चर्चा करके निर्णय किए तो उसमें देश का हित होगा. मुझे लगता है वाजपेयी जी है या नहीं है, इसी बात को लेकर आगे जाने में ही देश का हित है और पार्टियों का हित है और जनता का हित है, इसी को सोच के आगे जाना पड़ेगा. और राजनीति में सभी लोग इस बात को अगर याद रखेंगे तो ये अच्छी बात होगी, ऐसा मुझे लगता है.
So that was the second question that I asked Nitin Gadkari, and I also asked Mr. Gadkari, now that I had him, you know, and had the chance to ask him this question, those famous reports of possible disagreements between Atal Bihari Vajpayee and the RSS, were their relationships strong, were they not strong? And also, of course, that talk about difficulties between him and Narendra Modi in 2002, of course, but even elsewhere. So I did put those questions to him and asked him how much truth there was in that and how he would react to those particular comments. This is what Gadkari said.
ये पूरी तरह से गलत बात है. अटल जी संघ के प्रचारक थे और संघ के प्रचारक होने के बाद ही जो प्रचारक भारतीय जनता पार्टी में जनसंघ में उस समय काम करने के लिए दिए गए उनमें से वो आए. और हिंदू तनमन उनका एक गीत भी है, मुझे आलू में भिवंडी में दंगे हुए थे तब उन्होंने कहा था अब हिंदू मार नहीं खाएगा. भारतीयत्व, हिंदुत्व और भारतीयता और हिंदुत्व ये वे ऑफ लाइफ है, तो इसलिए इसके बारे में उनकी सोच अच्छी थी. दुर्भाग्यवश हिंदुत्व को संकुचित और जातिवादी कहा जाता है, उसका सही अर्थ समझा नहीं जाता. अगर आप विवेकानंद जी को पढ़ेंगे और विवेकानंद जी के विचार पढ़ेंगे तो मुझे लगता है हमें इस बात को ध्यान में आएगा. पर अटल जी और संघ इसमें कभी किसी प्रकार के मतभेद नहीं थे, वो संघ के स्वयंसेवक के रूप में अपने को स्वीकार करते थे, संघ विचार को अपनी जीवन निष्ठा मानते थे और उसी के आधार पर आखिर तक जीवन में वो रहे. और जहाँ तक मोदी जी की बात है, मोदी जी को उनके आशीर्वाद थे और उन्हीं के आशीर्वाद में मोदी जी गुजरात के मुख्यमंत्री बने. ये भी एक गलत फहमी है कि मोदी जी के ऊपर अटल जी नाराज थे, ये भी सही नहीं है. और मुझे लगता है कि केवल जब गुजरात में दंगे हुए थे तो दोनों बातों के बारे में उन्होंने कहा था, उसको कुछ लोगों ने मिसकोट करके ये फैलाने की कोशिश की. पर जहाँ तक मोदी जी और अटल जी के संबंध बहुत अच्छे थे और अटल जी और संघ के भी अच्छे थे और मुझे लगता है इस बारे में मीडिया के कुछ सेक्शन लिखते होंगे, पर दुर्भाग्यवश ये वस्तुस्थिति नहीं थी, ये मैं विश्वास के साथ कह सकता हूँ.
All right, so that was Nitin Gadkari speaking to me yesterday on a range of issues to do with Atal Bihari Vajpayee. Just want to, I know he said he doesn't want to look at it from a political point of view, but let's look at it from a political point of view just for a couple of minutes. Looking ahead at 2019, you of course have written a book on Sardar Patel, and it's interesting that Sardar Patel, a Congress leader who fought so hard against the RSS, is now being appropriated to some extent by the BJP and certainly by the ruling government right now. Do you think there is a chance in the next elections that Atal Bihari Vajpayee as a symbol will start to be used by some of the former members of the NDA? To hold him as a counterpoint to the Prime Minister, to Narendra Modi, to what's happening right now.
There's one symbol of Atal Bihari Vajpayee I hope that every party in this country takes in, and that has to do with the reason why somebody like me is even here today in your studio, which is economic liberalization. If you draw a straight line from Sardar Patel, who I've written a book on, going via Rajiv Gandhi to P.V. Narasimha Rao to Atal Bihari Vajpayee, the one strain of economic freedom for Indians is rejected even today by many top political leaders. I hope that lesson will finally be embraced. Atal Bihari Vajpayee was the man who showed us that economics, including infrastructure building, could be sold to people. Maybe he failed, but today Narendra Modi is gaining from that lesson that he started. Okay. Atal Bihari Vajpayee also, the other lesson, that no matter what the others are saying, if something is to the benefit of India like Pokhran was, you should be able to take that in your stride and do it for India. I hope this lesson is absorbed by every political party.
Okay, fair enough. So, Sunil Kulkarni, let me get an interview with Kanavandas. How do you see this? How do you see the Vajpayee legacy being a factor at all in the next year, 2 years, 3 years? Or do you think this will be an event which will just pass?
No, I don't think that Vajpayee legacy will become an election issue. And in fact, it should not become an election issue of a divisive kind at all. That is, some
it
political
won't become
parties
as a divisive kind. I was talking more from the point of view of some former members of the NDA, members of the BJP, using Atalji's image, symbol, as a legacy, as a rallying point, as a symbol. I mean, the opposition, the Mahagathbandhan, has got no leader even remotely of the stature of Narendra Modi. So, therefore, the need to find symbols.
No, I don't think he will become an election symbol. That is completely unrealistic. But if all political parties are really sincere in the manner in which they have expressed their feelings towards Atal Bihari Vajpayee in the last 2 days, that itself will take Indian democracy forward in a positive direction.
Okay.
Whether it is Jyotiraditya Sindhya or, for the matter, yesterday, the Congress party in Mumbai put up hoardings, showing its respect to Atal Bihari Vajpayee. This is the kind of coming together that all political parties, especially the ruling party, should strive for.
Okay, let me quickly try and get some more comments. I'm trying to get the audience in, and I have General VP Malik also to quickly go to.
Look,
and not much time.
Picking up where Sudhindra has left, already there is a speculation, or rather murmurs among we journalists, whether the Congress is going to snatch Atal Bihari Vajpayee from BJP, because when Rahul Gandhi visited Atal Bihari Vajpayee in hospital, and then he very loudly claimed that, see, I was the first one to visit him. So, and subsequently also in the last couple of days on television debates, I'm also noticing that seems to be, maybe, I agree with Sudhindra, it should not be, but there seems to be some kind of a strategy in the Congress camp. Can we snatch Atal Bihari Vajpayee from the BJP? They have snatched Sardar Patel from
us. That's exactly why I was asking him the question. Maybe tough for the Congress.
Mahatma Gandhi from us.
Maybe tough for the Congress party to do it. It may be tough for the Congress party to do it. But Shekhar, for Mamata Banerjee, Farooq Abdullah, Naveen Patnaik, certainly members of the BJP like Yashwant Sinha and Arun Shori and others whom we've heard speaking. So for them, it becomes a counterpoint, or is
that
unlikely?
For Yashwant Sinha and the rest, who used to be in BJP, yes. But right now, are they political force? As for Mamata Banerjee or any of the other, Farooq Abdullah, they will not treat Atal Bihari Vajpayee as an icon. They will not steal him from the BJP as BJP has stolen Patel from the Congress party, because they cannot. Yeah. What they will do is, they will use Vajpayee's name to constantly taunt and troll Narendra Modi, because these two are completely different personalities. They have completely different methods, a completely different approach to their profession, which is politics.
Okay. So
they will always say, see, and people did that to Indira Gandhi, after all. She was taunted by everybody who didn't like her during the emergency that, look, Nehru's daughter has done it. So she was compared with Nehru all the time. So whenever she became autocratic, people said Nehru's daughter, and it did affect her. So in this case also, this will be effective. How much it will affect Mr. Modi, I don't know.
Okay, we'll have to wait and see. Let's quickly go to General VP Malik, who, of course, was the chief of army staff, heading the army at the time of the Kargil.
He will not start acting like Atal Bihari Vajpayee.
I think that would be a fair conclusion to arrive. General VP Malik, just wanted to ask you. You, of course, were the chief of the army at the time of Kargil. Must have worked very closely with Atal Bihari Vajpayee at that time. Just wanted to ask you, what did you think of his leadership and some of the lessons that all of us should derive, and certainly the government should derive? What do you think of Vajpayee's leadership?
I have very strong memories of that period. And all I would say is that what I saw of him during that period was that he pursued both peace and the conflict that we went through with great determination. When he wanted to have peace with Pakistan or within Kashmir, he went out of his way and he pursued that very strongly. And during the war also, once he had taken the decision, he went with full determination to make sure that we are able to undo what Pakistanis had done.
Right, so determination and a willingness to persist, those are important lessons to learn. So, of course, Atal Bihari Vajpayee memorably said, we can choose our friends, you can't choose our neighbors. Is that a lesson that you think at some point is going to have to be taken on board, that somehow or the other we're going to have to figure out what to do with Pakistan, talk to them or something?
See, the fact is that, as he believed, that if you want to win the situation in Kashmir, you have to win the hearts and minds of Kashmiris. And he always tried that, and that's how he came across with Insaniyat, Jamhuriyat, and Kashmiriyat, that slogan. And in many ways, Kashmir situation is connected with Pakistan. So for that reason, he also kept his contacts with Pakistan going, whether it was before the war, during the war, and after the war.
Right. Gentlemen, last question very quickly. I mean, as army chief at that time, especially during a high stressful period like Kargil, what was your experience in dealing with him as a prime minister? How should a prime minister be in a situation that decisive, accessible? Could you just drop in on him and have a conversation about what needed to be done?
Yes, I must say that he was very accessible, always approachable. And one could even ring up Brijesh Mishra and fix up an appointment. He never said no to that. And similarly, occasionally he would even ring us up. He would ring me up because I was chairman, chief of staff committee. So we had great rapport. And I found him, as far as his attitude towards the soldiers were concerned, he was very respectful and very compassionate. So we had excellent relations with the prime minister at that time.
All right, General Malik, thank you so much for joining us with those memories and perhaps some of the lessons. All right, I have less than 50 seconds to go on the show, enough time to maybe get one comment from somebody out here. Okay, Mike, okay, just speak loudly, I'll translate.
Yeah, I have a question that one of our panelists said that Narendra Modi ji would never act like Atal Bihari Vajpayee, but the problem is today's BJP allies demand that Vajpayee effect in their government.
Okay, interesting. So, will the allies require a Vajpayee relevant? That's an interesting point. Let me just get one more quick thought. I mean, I don't know whether we have time to get your questions answered, but a comment will work. Yeah, carry on. Just speak.
My question is to Mr. Sen Gupta, sir. What actually is the difference between the policy?
Just hold the mic up and don't worry about a question. Just make a comment if you have one.
I just want to make a comment that in Vajpayee's time, the opposition was also respectful. But if we consider the Narendra Modi time, the opposition is of Congress, which is. If I take the name Rahul Gandhi, that is not respectable opposition. So we have to
live in that manner. Since you addressed it to me, let me quickly answer it. Let me very quickly answer it in one sentence. Let us not forget Atal Bihari Vajpayee lost by one vote. I don't think the chances of Narendra Modi losing by one vote exists in Parliament. Let's just stick to that.
You never know what's going to happen in 2019. Okay? Last comment, the gentleman there. Last comment. Hand him the mic.
Allies today are not as important as they were in Mr. Vajpayee's time. So allies have to accept that reality.
But Shekhar, both of those points, could it change perhaps a year from now? You don't know what the constitution is. What the composition of the Lok Sabha will be a year from now. All right, last comment, then I have to wrap this up.
As we discussed the legacy of Vajpayee, I just wanted to get a sense of what his idea of nationalism was. Because he was a thorough and an unfeigned nationalist, but at the same time, he wasn't a jingoist. So there's a very fine line between that and how do you... He had a very layered and nuanced this thing of nationalism. So
I think that's an interesting thought, and perhaps it's a really interesting thought to end the program on, and something else that we should think about. You can be a nationalist, you can be a patriot, you can love your country very dearly, as I think most Indians do. We love our country very, very passionately, but you don't necessarily have to be jingoistic, is the point that I think he was making. You certainly don't have to call everyone else an anti-national, which is another point worth thinking about. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a tough week. Let us remember, use this week to remember the legacy of Atal Bihari Vajpayee and draw as many of the good lessons as we possibly can from his life. Thanks for watching. Bye for now.
Thank you.